The sun was dipping below the horizon, casting long shadows across the quiet country road. My wife, Jenna, and I were returning from a weekend getaway, the car's tires humming a steady rhythm on the asphalt. It had been a peaceful retreat, a much-needed break from the chaos of city life. But as we rounded a bend, the tranquility shattered. There, in the middle of nowhere, stood a woman. Her appearance alone was enough to slam the brakes. Her clothes were ripped, hanging off her frame in tatters, and bruises marred her visible skin. She was sobbing uncontrollably, her hands trembling as she waved us down. Concern overrode caution. I pulled the car over and Jenna rolled down her window, her voice laced with worry.
Are you okay? What happened to you? Do you need help?
The woman staggered closer, her eyes wide with fear.
Please, you have to help me. I've been kidnapped, held captive for a month. I managed to escape just now. They're still out there.
Her words were like a cold splash of reality. I was so shook by her appearance and story that the peripheral movement missed my eye. From the wooded area across the road, a group of men emerged, their expressions twisted in anger. Before I could react, the first rock smashed against the windshield, sending spiderweb cracks sprawling across the glass.
Drive!
Jenna screamed, panic slicing through her voice. I fumbled with the keys, trying to start the car, but another rock thudded against the side window, shattering it. Glass flew like glittering rain, cutting into my face and hands. The woman outside shrieked and grabbed hold of Jenna's hands before she could pull up her window. The group of violent men approached. One of them, a burly figure with a scar running down his face, reached for the driver's side door and yanked it open.
Out of the car, now!
He barked, his breath foul. I lunged at the ignition, the engine roaring to life, but it was too late. The man grabbed my jacket, pulling me halfway out of the car. His grip was iron, unyielding. Jenna screamed, reaching over to claw at his face, her nails leaving red welts on his cheek. Another man approached, laughing maniacally as he swung a crowbar at Jenna's window. The half-closed glass buckled but held. He started swinging again and again. This time, the window gave way.
Leave us alone!
Jenna cried, her voice breaking.
What do you want?
It's not about what we want.
The burly man replied, a sick grin on his face.
It's about what you're gonna give us, honey pie.
As he spoke, two more men pulled me from the car. I hit the ground hard, my breath whooshing out. They kicked me, the blows raining down on my ribs and stomach. I curled into a ball, trying to protect my head, the pain sharp and immediate.
Get her too!
The burly man ordered, and I saw two others grab Jenna, dragging her out of the car. She fought like a wildcat, her elbows and knees moving in a blur, but the men were relentless. Over the cacophony of our struggle, tires screeched. Headlights cut through the dark like beacons of hope. A truck had turned onto the road, its driver honking furiously. The men paused, uncertainty flickering in their eyes. It was the chance I needed. Gritting my teeth against the pain, I scrambled to my feet, pulling Jenna up with me.
Run!
I gasped, and we bolted, not looking back, our only thought to escape the nightmare that had erupted so suddenly. Behind us, the sound of the men cursing melted into the night, but we didn't stop, the fear of death a tangible presence at our backs. As we ran, the reality of our situation sank in. We were not out of danger yet. The chase had only just begun. We ran as hard as our feet could carry, our breath ragged, the pain from our injuries a constant reminder of the horror we had just escaped. The darkness of the country road enveloped us, and every rustle in the bushes, every snap of a twig, sent shocks of fear through my already adrenaline-pumped body. Jenna clutched my hand tightly, her grip conveying the terror that we both felt. Most of the men got busy with my car, getting their hands on everything they could get. But there was two who still chased. Our only hope was to put as much distance as possible between us and our attackers. The road curved ahead, and in the distance the faint glow of a street light promised some semblance of safety, but the sound of footsteps crunching gravel behind us spurred us on, the fear of being caught fueling our aching muscles.
"We can't keep this up, Gil,"
Jenna gasped, her voice hoarse with exertion.
"We need to hide or something."
Just then, the outline of an old barn loomed to our right, its dilapidated structure a dark silhouette against the night sky. Without a word, we veered off the road and plunged into the fields, the tall grass whispering around us as we made our way to what we hoped would be a temporary refuge. Inside the barn, the smell of old hay and rust was overwhelming. We crouched behind a stack of hay bales, our breaths coming in short, sharp gasps. Jenna's face was pale in the moonlight that filtered through the gaps in the wooden planks, her eyes wide with fear.
"We need to call the police,"
I whispered, fumbling in my pocket for the phone. It wasn't there. I must have dropped it during the struggle or the escape. Jenna shook her head, her own phone likely left in the car or lost in the chaos. Minutes stretched into an agonizing eternity as we listened for any signs of our pursuers. The occasional hoot of an owl or the distant bark of a dog were the only sounds that broke the silence of the night. Then, suddenly, a sound froze us both. A soft, malicious chuckle from just outside the barn.
"They went this way! I saw them!"
A voice hissed, the sound of approaching footsteps sending fresh waves of panic through me. Jenna and I looked at each other, the same thought mirrored in her eyes. We needed a weapon, something to defend ourselves. I scanned the dim interior of the barn, and my gaze landed on a rusty pitchfork leaning against the wall. I crept over, my movements slow and silent, and I grasped it, feeling a grim sense of determination settle over me. As the door to the barn creaked open, letting in a sliver of moonlight, I positioned myself behind it, the pitchfork raised and ready. Jenna hid behind the hay bales, her soft sobbing a whisper in the dark. Two figures entered, their features obscured by shadows. With a surge of adrenaline, I stepped out and swung the pitchfork with all my might. It connected with a sickening thud, and one of the attackers screamed, the sound cutting sharply through the night. The other lunged at me, and we grappled, crashing into the wooden walls of the barn. Jenna screamed, her voice high and terrified, as she jumped on the back of the man attacking me, pulling him away with surprising strength. The struggle was chaotic, filled with grunts and curses as we fought for our lives. Finally, the sounds of sirens pierced the night, growing louder as they approached. The attackers got up and ran. The truck driver must have got the help. Exhausted, bruised, and shaken, Jenna and I collapsed onto the barn floor as the police barged in. In the aftermath, as we gave our statements and the police combed the area, the reality of our narrow escape settled in. The modus operandi was linked to a local group of hillbillies. I would just like for others to be careful and learn from our ordeal. This story was inspired by bizarre footage captured by dashcam in early morning's hours of May 2, 2013 in Browns Plains, Australia. In it, a white car can be seen traveling through a series of roundabouts before continuing on a straight road. Everything seems calm at first, but just 10 seconds into the video, something pretty messed up was caught by the driver's dashcam. A woman can be seen crossing the road in front of the vehicle and practically throws herself onto the vehicle. Few seconds later, a man rushes to the woman and tries to stop the car. However, the person driving releases. It is a trap due to the bad acting of woman and the man. Driver's initial thought that it was an insurance scam. But then he saw a group of people coming running towards his car, which was not captured by dashcam. He understand that this was a case of carjacking and he drove away as fast as possible. One can only assume that men were trying to get him out of the car for some horrific purpose. The night was dark, the moon a mere sliver in the sky, as I drove down the narrow road flanked by dense woods. The solitude of the drive had always been a solace for me, a way to unwind after long days filled with the clamor of my job as a real estate agent. But that night was different. My headlights pierced the darkness ahead, revealing the back of a silver sedan driving at a steady pace. Suddenly, without warning, the sedan screeched to a halt. I slammed on the brakes, my heart pounding, barely stopping in time to avoid a collision. There was no other car in sight, just us, surrounded by an eerie quiet. My instincts screamed that something was terribly wrong. I gripped the steering wheel, peering through the windshield, trying to discern any movement. The driver's door of the sedan slowly opened. A figure, clad in black, stepped out, staring directly at me. That is when panic set in. I knew I had to get away. I floored the accelerator, swerving to pass the sedan. In my haste, my car's sides scraped against theirs, a harsh metal-on-metal screech filling the air. I lost control for a moment, veering off the road and crashing headlong into a tree. The impact jolted me, my seatbelt cutting into my chest, my head snapping forward. Dazed, I barely registered the sound of footsteps crunching on gravel as they approached. Shaking my head to clear it, I saw three figures now, all masked, coming towards me with what looked like crowbars.
"Get out of the car, lady!"
one of them shouted, banging on the driver's side window. The glass held, but it wouldn't for long. I fumbled for my phone, but it wasn't in its usual spot. It must have been thrown somewhere in the car during the crash. I was alone, trapped, and my car was badly damaged. The engine sputtered as I tried to start it again, praying for a miracle. It roared to life, but one of the attackers smashed the back window, sending shards flying into the car.
"Don't think you're going anywhere!"
another voice growled, reaching in to grab my hair. I screamed, pain searing through my scalp as I instinctively pulled forward. The car lurched, but it was pinned by the tree. The situation was desperate. They were trying to pull me out through the shattered window, their hands clawing at me.
"You're not taking me without a fight,"
I managed to yell, my voice hoarse with fear. I clawed back, biting and scratching, anything to keep them at bay. As they momentarily recoiled from my ferocity, I slammed the car into reverse, then back into drive, rocking it violently, trying to dislodge it from the tree. The attackers were momentarily thrown off balance, cursing as they stumbled. With a final desperate maneuver, I revved the engine, the car finally breaking free. The front wheel spun wildly on the loose gravel, the car lurching backward. One of the attackers was directly behind the car. I heard a thud, a scream, and I didn't stop to see what I'd hit. I couldn't. All I knew was that I had to escape, to survive. The road ahead was dark, the woods menacing, but I drove. I drove like the devil himself was on my heels, away from that nightmare behind me. The sound of my heart pounding in my ears was louder than the engine, and tears streamed down my face as the reality of what had just happened, and what might still happen, sank in. My car jolted forward, away from the immediate danger, but it was a short-lived escape. The engine, damaged from the collision, coughed and wheezed, its final jerks echoing through the quiet night before it died completely, only a few feet from the initial chaos. I pounded the steering wheel in frustration and fear, my breaths quick and shallow. I was still in the death grip of this nightmare. The headlights dimmed as the power waned, and in the rearview mirror I saw two of the attackers regaining their ground. They sprinted towards the car, their figures becoming larger and more terrifying with each passing second. My mind raced. There was nowhere to run. The woods too thick to navigate in the dark, and my physical state too battered to attempt it. One of the men reached the car, his breath visible in the cold night air. He slammed his fist against the window.
"Now you're really gonna pay,"
he hissed, his voice dripping with malice. The other man, limping slightly, joined him, wielding a rock. With a sickening crack, he smashed it against the window next to me. The glass shattered, showering me with sharp fragments. I shielded my face with my arms, feeling the sting of cuts as I tried to shrink away from their reach. The door flew open, and rough hands grabbed at my jacket, trying to drag me out. I kicked and screamed, fighting with every ounce of energy I had left.
Help! Someone please help!
I shouted into the darkness, hoping against hope that a passing car would hear me. But the road remained deserted, my cries swallowed by the vast emptiness of the night. The man with the scarred face leaned in close, his breath foul.
No one's gonna hear you out here. Now stop making this harder than it has to be.
As he pulled, I grabbed onto the car keys. In a flash of desperation, I grasped them tightly and swung my hand, striking him in the eye. He stumbled backward, howling in pain, his hand clamped over his eye. Seizing the moment, I scrambled out on the other side of my car, my body screaming in protest. I didn't get far before the other attacker caught up to me, tackling me to the ground. The air whooshed out of my lungs as we hit the cold, hard earth. He pinned my arms above my head, his weight oppressive.
Gotcha now!
He growled, his face inches from mine. Panic surged through me, raw and overpowering. In the scuffle, his grip on my wrists loosened. I twisted one arm free, my fingers digging into the dirt, grasping for anything I could use as a weapon. My hand closed around a small, sharp stone. Without thinking, I jabbed it at his face. He howled, recoiling from the pain, and his grip loosened enough for me to wriggle free. I pushed him off with all my remaining strength and staggered to my feet. My body ached, my vision blurred with tears and pain, but I knew I couldn't stop. I limped as fast as I could towards the road, my every breath a searing pain in my chest. Suddenly, headlights cut through the darkness. A car. Waving my arms frantically, I stood in the middle of the road, the vehicle screeching to a halt just inches away from me. The driver, a middle-aged man, jumped out, concern etched on his face, taking in my battered appearance. Behind me, the attackers hesitated, their resolve faltering under the sudden appearance of a witness. They turned and disappeared back into the woods, melting into the shadows from which they had emerged. I collapsed into the man's arms, my body and mind unable to take any more.
Please, just get me out of here,
I managed to say, my voice a mere whisper. As we drove away, the police sirens in the distance growing louder, I looked back at the road that had almost been my end. The ordeal was over, but I knew the long road to recovery was just beginning. The night had changed me, scarred me in ways that would take time to heal, if ever. But I was alive, and for now, that was enough. This story was inspired by bizarre footage captured by dashcam